Well, the Corey Connors we saw today was quite a bit different than the Corey Connors we saw in the final round of the Valspar Championship earlier this year.
Yes, and he's making the natural progression that one must make on the PGA Tour to learn. And you know, the first time you're in the final group or if you have the lead, chances are you're not going to deal with that situation as you hope because it's such high pressure.
Right.
And most people do stumble, and Corey did that when he played in his final group. Most everyone who's in that position does.
Right.
And he was in the final group one other time last year and didn't perform well. And this is a very important part of his building block, his foundation to develop as a player to get to that next step. And when you're in that final group, to perform well.
Right.
It's not as important, you know, it's great if you win. But the more important aspect of it is if you play well, and he played well.
As did both of them, both Cameron Champ and Corey Connors. I mean, looking specifically at Corey, I mean, he came into this final round down by four shots. You know, he could have basically thrown in the towel at that point, but he didn't do it.
You know, it was fascinating because both guys are in the same position going into the final round. You know, Cameron Champ is, this guy who hits it farther than anyone else. I mean, he's got the greatest club head speed on the PGA Tour. It's in that 130 range.
Right.
He's on the cover of Golf Digest.
Mm-hmm.
He's the second coming right now. He's got this four-shot lead going into the final round, but he hasn't, you know, he's just a brand-new professional.
Sure.
And he's got to break through. There's a lot of expectation on him. And, so if there's if Corey's going to catch him, Corey has to get off to a good start and get under par early. And Cameron Champ, with the four-shot lead, is going to have to make some mistakes and come back. And that's exactly what happened. And both guys are in the battle together, to get to that that next level to win a PGA Tour event. It was, and it's always such a fascinating mindset to watch.
Right. Well, to see Corey Connors come out, he birdies the second and third holes. Now, mind you, Champ had a birdie on the third hole, but then he had consecutive bogeys. So basically, like you say, I mean, they followed the script perfectly. I mean, basically, Corey tied it up on the ninth hole, 13-foot putt, descended onto the back nine tied. So I think you're right. I mean, I think they followed the script that you described to a T. Right.
The battle that they had to deal with was within the confines of their own mind. Because both players are trying to keep their stuff wired very tight.
Right.
And they've got to stay present, and they're in uncharted waters with success. And we saw Champ lose it on the front nine, and we saw Corey perform. And, you know, heading into that back nine, they were, tied going into on the 10th hole.
Right.
And what it forces these guys to do is to deal with the situation.
Right.
And they both handled it very well. I mean, Corey played very well. And then on the last few holes, we watched Cameron make a bunch of bombs and hit some wonderful shots to just pull away.
Yeah.
But, sometimes it turns out that way. Sometimes it turns out the other way. That's golf. But,
right.
You know, you've got to look at both these players having performed well in this situation, and kudos for both these players. They made great progress today in their careers.
And while we talk about that, those four consecutive birdies that Champ had, by the same token, I mean, Corey Connors birdied 13, birdied 15 with a massive tee shot on 15. He certainly wasn't backing off because of those four straight birdies, was he?
No, that's right. He was dropping those putts in perfectly in the front nine. He had that on 15, as you mentioned, had that great putt for eagle, and just hitting it a little harder, it goes in, and he's one shot closer to the win, and those things make such huge differences in momentum.
Right.
You know, someone makes an eagle rather than a birdie, and that whole champ got it up and down to say par. That was a big swing
right.
that could have gone in Corey's favor, but it didn't.
Right.
But regardless, you know, you have to yeah. deal with the situation at hand in every single moment,
yeah.
and how you handle those moments are going to determine, you know, the outcome. And Corey played well.
Yep.
It just so happens the bomb on 16-17 also that champ made, and his remarkable recovery second shot on the 18th hole
right.
Was the determining factor. So,
yeah.
you know, hats off to Cameron Champ
yep.
And hats off to Corey.
Yeah, I mean, you figure it in Corey Connors' case. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, here's a guy who was, you know, in the Web.com finals. He didn't make top 125 on the PGA Tour. You know, so he's on the Web.com finals. You know, last week he got married. All of a sudden, things are turning around pretty sweetly for Corey Connors.
And those are important. You know, I think Ian Stanley was talking mm-hmm. about, and Bob Weeks was talking about on Twitter about, you know, kind of the thing that's happening with Canadians, these young players getting married. And you know, when you get married, your responsibility goes not just, you know, goes from yourself to your family now, or,
right.
or and it makes things change in your perspective, and it's not unusual for young players who really have their minds together to start to perform. So
yeah.
that pattern is happening, and you know, one of the other things that we talked about earlier was that, you know, Corey's in the section in that category of 126 to 150, so
right.
he's not going to be able to shuffle or use this money to get him into a shuffle and improve
right.
his position. But regardless, the second place and this is FedEx Cup points are going to go big
right.
And in the way of helping him for becoming an exempt player next
right.
year. So he's going to get into his, you know, 17, 18, 19 tournaments in that category, and this week was a big step in many different ways as a start of his future.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned the married part of it. I mean, we saw it with guys like Adam Hadwin.
Yeah.
You know, Mackenzie Hughes. You know, there's guys, you know, who got married and then got their first PGA Tour win. So, you know, or around the same time anyway, you know, so it seems to settle them down a lot. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, golf is a very selfish game because it's all, you know, it's all by ourselves. And when you get married, it's not just you. It's your spouse now and your
right.
and your pending family. So
right.
at that point, responsibility in your role as a husband, as a father, changes, and it
yeah.
helps you tremendously in life rather than
yeah.
you know, a young kid who thinks he's bulletproof and it's about me. Now
yeah.
it's about us. And that is a very, you know, that's a growing perspective that we all go through in life. And
yeah.
and it's, you know, these young guys that are out there, they're moving on to those next steps. And when they get married, they have other people that they're responsible for. So
yeah.
Love seeing this progress.
Well, another guy we should mention, too, he hasn't got his first PGA Tour win yet, but another guy who mentioned being married, settling him down, was Roger Sloan as well. So, you know, there,
yeah.
there you have a number of guys who have really started to, you know, do well once they got married.
yeah, I remember I got married in 1986, and the week before I had the lead, the very first lead of after 54 holes at the Anheuser-Busch Classic in Williamsburg, and I didn't handle that situation very well. I remember shooting, you know, having the lead and going into the final round, playing in the final group on national television. I shot a 79 that day, but and then the next week I got married. But you know, those things are what Nick Westlock used to call baptismal of fire,
right?
And you have to go through them. You have to take your punches, and they do come. No one is exempt from dealing with such adversity.
Yeah.
It's just something that you have to plow through and
yeah.
learn to deal with. And when
yeah.
you do get on the other side of it, breaking through, you're that much better for it.
Yeah. What is it about this tournament the Canadians like? I mean, you know, last year we saw Ben Silverman tie for seventh. Of course, in 2015, Nick Taylor got his first win at the Sanderson Farms. And if I am not mistaken, a young fellow by the name of Richard Zokel, when it was a deposit guarantee, won it in 92. Of course, it was an unofficial event at that time. And another young fellow by the name of Dan Halderson won it in 86.
That's right. That's exactly right. So this tournament has a lot of history with Canadians playing well. And I also remember Graham Delac playing well there a few years ago, going into the back nine. I think he had the lead. And it wasn't able to get it done, but Graham played well there as well. I'm not sure why, Hutch. It's, maybe it's the grit. you get down there, and once you acclimate yourself with grit, perhaps that's something, because I enjoyed that southern cooking down there. And, and again, it's always got that harsh and almost dormant Bermuda this time of the year.
Right.
And that Bermuda grass is difficult to deal with coming out of the rough, and also difficult to learn how to putt with that extensive grain. But you're right, it's something about the deep south in Mississippi that I love, and I suppose other Canadians love as well. It's treated us very nicely.
Well, I think from now on, where any Canadians that are coming onto the PGA Tour are going to make sure that they're signed up for the Sanderson Farms, that's for sure.
I think so. That's good advice.
Well, sir, thank you as always.
All right, Hutch, thanks so much. It's, as I always say, it's always a pleasure to speak with you about this game.
Thanks, Dick.